Well, good morning, everyone. It's another, as Corny mentioned, interesting day. We're here on Saturday morning, and on May the 9th, we still have snow in the morning. And though it's not accumulating, we just see the tender flakes falling, and I'm just awestruck and again at how marvelous God is that on a day such as this, we still get 0 degree temperature and the light dusting of snow. But all praise be to God the Father, because he is perfect and he knows all things and he is in control, and we just get to rest in his fullness, in everything that he has done for us, everything that's already completed, all the work that he had set out to do and is done. And now we wait. We wait for Jesus to come again. And the times are so interesting, and I think that probably more than ever before, this has been on my mind, and I would assume that I'm not the only one. So for God's grace and his mercy, we are ever thankful, and for his hand of provision, I think we see it more than ever in these days, just what he has done for us and how much he loves us and how he sustains us in times like this. So I want to greet you this morning as Paul greeted the church in Galatia, where he says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Let's begin this morning with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the grace and the mercy that you set before us each and every day, in that we can never exhaust the depth of love and the grace and the mercy and the peace that you have available for us. And we thank you that you never leave us or forsake us, and that you're always faithful to do all that you have promised to do, and that you will finish this work that you have started in us till the day that you call us home. And Father, as Deacon Corny was sharing this week again, we see that you are continually doing this. You are being faithful to your word. You are calling members of our family, members of our church, members of our community home. And though we deal with the grief and the pain of the loss of the loved ones, we still rejoice in the fact that you are God and you are in control, and that this was part of your plan from the beginning, and that one day we will see all of our loved ones again. So, Father, in the meantime, we just lean on you evermore as we begin to realize and understand our frailty and our weakness in this flesh. But, Father, may we not stop there. May we continue to understand that in the Spirit, and in the Spirit that you have given us, there is life and there is strength and there is power and there is so much more. So, in our times of discouragement, in our times of question, in our time of need, may you help us to remember that your faithfulness is so much greater than our temporary situations, our current circumstances, our quarantining, our sitting at home waiting to go back to work, our anticipation of the day when things go back to normal. And help us to live in this Spirit and in the victory of this Spirit as we depend on you for all things. Father, may you be glorified in all this. May we come to a place where we just pour ourselves out at your feet, that you would take us and use us for your kingdom and your name's sake. We thank you again for all you are, for all you have done, for all you are doing, and all you will yet do. Thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name. Amen. So as Deacon Corny was up and just mentioning, today as you gather around, we get to celebrate Mother's Day. So for all of the things that go unnoticed and everything that it is that you mothers have done for us, we truly are thankful. And it is an amazing testimony of the love that God has for you as you pour it out to all of your children and to everyone around. And I think the love of a mother is so much deeper than many of us can understand. So thank you for all that you are and all that you do for us. I start this morning with a quote, and it is not a scriptural quote, but I think most of you know this, and you will know where this line comes from. And I'll do it without the accent. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. That was Izok Paytash. No. Forrest Gump. And isn't that just the way things seem to be these days? But I found it so interesting as Father laid that on my heart, because our sermon for today is hope and desire. And we're going to get into that in the second portion of our sermon this morning. And we're going to work into that. And it was an interesting quote that just really seemed to fit everything that we're going through in this day and time. You know, it's been 8 weeks of quarantine now, from March break, the beginning of March break, to where we are now. And that's typically as long as the kids have summer break. And who knew, you know, at that time when they said we'd be gone for 3 weeks, that it'd be 8 weeks now. And the uncertainty of what's coming next, and when we'll go back to work, when we'll go back to school, when we'll be able to have the freedom that we once had, when we'll be able to gather in this house again and to see one another and to have this fellowship. And, you know, there's four of us here this morning, and it's just a small handful, and just even the fellowship and the communion amongst, you know, the few people that are here, it's an amazing testimony of how great the community is, and how much we love one another, and how much we desire to be with everyone. So I hope you guys are all doing well. Looking back into January and February of this year, I don't think that any of us would have thought that curbside pickup would be the norm, that it would become everyone's reality. Who would have thought that church service in your living room would be something that we do, something so strange and so foreign, because we can't gather in large groups. And for everyone, you're probably already tired of hearing that this is the new normal. And I hope that's not the case, because I think, like many of us, we're probably sick of it already. Normal. What is that? Everything in this world has become uncertainly certain, where we're all sure that we have no idea about what's going to happen next. And it's not crippling. Sometimes for those of us who really have the personality that we need to know what's going on, I could see it being tough for everyone that deals with that. Some people love the spontaneity, and some people thrive off of not knowing what's coming next. And so we see there's so many questions in these days in the things that we go through, that we're becoming aware that we're really not in control of much. We can control what we eat and what we do and where we go and what we say and what we think. But beyond that, it's come to my realization that so much more than I thought is out of my control. And how do we deal with that? Knowing there's nothing you can do to fix or change your current situation. And to some people, that's a really hard deal. For all the times of uncertainty that we face in our lives, we found a way to make a form of insurance for it, and we remain in some sort of control. And I'm going to talk about insurance a little bit here this morning, and I want you to understand that this is not the end goal. This is not where we want to sit at, But it's important, I think, and it's interesting to understand just how we've formulated life for our benefit in cases or in times of trial where we don't know what to do. Insurance is a means of guaranteeing protection or safety. For some of us, we take it so for granted that some of us may have muttered in times of questions, say, "Hey, don't worry about it. I've got insurance." And we become so easily ready to bank on the fact that no matter what happens, we're covered. In times of uncertainty, has insurance become our safety net? What we turn to in times of trouble? We look at car insurance. I feel like a sales guy. Make sure my tie is straight. Car insurance. You get in an accident, you pay the deductible, you get your car fixed or you get a new car. Home insurance. Your basement floods, something happens, water leakage, whatever it might be. You pay your deductible, you get it fixed, and you move on. Employment insurance. Because of COVID-19, there are record numbers of people that are unemployed. And we sit back and we think, okay, like it's not ideal, and maybe we're not making the same amount of money that we were while we were employed, but we've got something to fall back on. We've got some source of income. We've got pet insurance. We've got insurance for our body parts. Sports people, voice singers, so on. You can insure your arm. You can insure your voice. You can insure your chickens. You can insure everything. You have disability insurance, and you have life insurance. You know, if you get hurt on the job or you get hurt doing something, there's something to fall back on when you get hurt. That if you can't go to work for 2 weeks, 3 months, 6 weeks, whatever it is, you've got insurance to make sure that you're financially stable. We have life insurance, and it's sad to even bring that up, but you have life insurance so that if someone does pass away, that you're financially taken care of. And we've got insurance for, it seems like, everything under the sun. And I often wonder, has this become more of a safety net for us than our dependency upon the Father? So have we become so reliant and dependent upon a system that we've become numb to our need for God and our need for Christ in the situations of life? When we hear about someone getting into an accident or getting sick or passing away, are we more apt to ask about, well, did they have insurance? Before we ask, were they good with the Lord? Are they sealed for the day of redemption? I know when a car accident happens, and you just have a fender bender, we don't necessarily go to that extreme. Okay, well, you were in a fender bender. Well, do you have Jesus? Is it important? Yes. Is it something that we think about right away? I would say no, it's not. But insurance can pay for a vehicle or a house or medication or even a funeral. But what about the effects of these events that happen in our lives? Effects that insurance can't cover. You know, having a house fire, losing all your pictures of your kids and your family. Maybe losing a family heirloom. Maybe in an accident you become paralyzed. And an insurance can cover your medication, and it can cover, you know, your loss of your wages because of not being able to work. But who is there in the middle of the night when you've lost your self-esteem? You've lost your desire to live. When addictions to painkillers kick in And sure, the government's paying for those medicines, and yes, they are necessary, but when that is overtaken by an addiction and now you're left stuck, you know, what kind of insurance covers that? When we lose somebody, I would dare to think that any one of us would give back all the money that in the world to have another day, just another conversation, another meal, just something. And as much as we think about all of the things that come along with the struggles and the trials that we go through, money doesn't ease the pain. Money isn't there for your soul, for your spirit. You might be taken care of financially to some degree, but when our only focus is ever on how much insurance we have versus how much assurance we have, we find that there's a disconnect between how we live and prioritize certain things until we come to a situation where we're forced to think beyond the dollar, we're forced to think beyond our means, and where we have to get spiritually deep to the understanding of our real dependency upon Christ for every situation rather than our dependency upon our financial status. But yet, somehow, we find more rest in knowing that we have insurance than having assurance. Where is our faith? Faith in knowing that Father is in all of our circumstances. In today's circumstances, in yesterday's circumstances, in tomorrow's circumstances, in everything that we go through. Has your current circumstance pushed you to an understanding of your need of a Savior? Or has it brought you to the place of worry in the world? Because no one knows what's going to happen next. Are the circumstances bringing more questions about your faith than reassuring us a solidity, a firm foundation of your belief in Christ? Where is our faith? Is it in the thought, this can't go on forever? That this really isn't the new normal? That in X amount of time, we'll be back to life as it once was? You know, and I've talked to a couple of people, and for all the time that we travel, and then, you know, we come to a construction place, and for months we stop at this construction, a road construction, and you have to sit there and wait and sit there and wait, and then finally it's your turn to grow and to go, and you sit there and you think, it's such an inconvenience and such an inconvenience, and then as soon as the project is done and the roadway is clear, and we drive the way that we did, it's as though it never happened. We can completely bypass the thoughts of all the frustration we had sitting there waiting. And we move on. And are we thinking this is going to be the same thing? And in my head, I hope it is. We're going to get past this, and 6 months down the road, we're gonna sit back and we're gonna talk about, remember that time when we couldn't go to church and how foolish that was? And we'll be sitting here with a sanctuary full of all of your faces, and I'll get to stand here, and instead of looking at a camcorder, I'll get to see your smiling faces and to be able to engage once again with everyone. But it's okay living in this uncertainty, because my God is bigger than all this, and my God will sustain me no matter what circumstances come my way. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. And we talked about this during a youth lesson a couple weeks back, but I see it time and time again just how reassuring that is. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. In our circumstances, when we feel like everything is lost, God is still there. He's still true to the situation. He's still true to the teaching of our dependence upon him. It's whether or not we remain faithful to him. So when all of our hope has turned from God to our own hand, he still remains true to his word. When we sit back and we realize, man, I'm going to be out of work for the next who knows how long still, how are we going to make ends meet? And we start thinking about how finances are going to play out and, you know, what we can do and what we can't do. God is still as faithful to you in those circumstances as he ever was. The question is, are we going to sit back and become dependent upon him, or are we going to just make everything else a focus? Is God a last resort rather than a first priority? Are we so dependent upon God that it doesn't matter what comes our way? Or do we take each thing case by case and wonder, where is God in this? Well, where is God in my marriage? Where is God in my kids? Where is God in the things around me? And the thing is that God has never changed. He remains the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and to all of eternity. Now, our views and our understanding of God changes, and I dare to say that all of our circumstances around us play a big role on how we view and how we understand God and what he is doing in our lives. But whether we rest in assurance that we have money in the bank or we're scraping to get by, God's love has never changed. And his desire for us to depend upon him has never changed. Has our thought process changed? Maybe we've come to realize in the last couple of weeks that maybe we're not as dependent upon God as we thought we were. When all of our hope is turned from God to our own hand, he still remains true to his word. When we live in the mire of our own broken vows and promises, God is still faithful to his word and to his covenant. While the world is looking for insurance in the time of need, Father is looking for faith in his people. And if he doesn't find it in us, if he doesn't find it in me, he keeps searching the hearts of man until he finds it. And this is where we find the renowned people of faith in the Bible, the ones who understand that their current circumstances are outweighed by the measure of fulfillment that comes from a love for God that doesn't waver no matter what the circumstances are. People who can say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, like Job. People that can say, the Lord shall supply all my needs, like King David. And people that can say, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, as Paul. So, in our circumstances, in the days that we live in, and even as this goes on and, we'll say, blows over in a year from now, where do we find our rest? Where do we find our strength? Where is our faith? How do we live that out? Now, I want to close this portion. We're going to kneel in prayer, and I'm going to invite you to do so at home as well. And if this is your first time joining in, we're going to kneel for prayer now, and we're just going to pour out our hearts to God just as he is, as he leads us. And then we're going to get into our second half of the sermon, and we'll close in like manner. So if you're willing and able, if you feel comfortable, if you want to get out of your comfort zone, I invite you to please kneel with me.